Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Dr. Jen, episode 157. Did I finally get the number right?
Yes, you did. Woo-hoo. Good job.
Woo-hoo. I know we have a couple of things to talk about today, but you want to vent about something, but we're going to talk about my first kiss with my wife at the Barefoot Bar in front of 300 people, how that transpired.
Oh, yeah. Part two from last. I can't believe I've never heard the details about how you guys met and your first date and all of this, because that is such a memorable story. It is so good. And then we're going to hear about your first kiss. So I'm excited about that. But yeah, no, I need to vent because I am really freaking annoyed. And
all
I'm
right.
annoyed because, so I'm in the sex field. That means my email content is often sexual.
Right,
and,
right.
And people have spam folders. And so I've, you know, figured out over time how to do it, or I follow up with people, but things get lost in spam folders for whatever reason. For the third time now this month of January, I have been in the midst of an email thread. And these are professional email threads where then all of a sudden my emails aren't going through to them. And so this has happened with somebody twice with scheduling with people, which is odd.
Right.
Because I was like, that's not even like sexual content. And then so I keep saying, they're like, hey, can we meet? Da-da-da. And I write back, yes, da-da-da, let's do it. And then that day I was like, hey, are we meeting? And they're like, I never heard back from you. And I'm like, oh my God, it's in the middle of the email thread. Mm-hmm. And then now it just happened this week. And this is explicitly sexual content. It's a podcast I'm going to be on tomorrow. And I'm telling them details of themes that I've found from my sex and vulnerability survey. Three times I tried. I was like, I'm going to send you the information tonight. And I sent it to him. But it's got words like orgasm and erection and stuff like that. And then,
but why should that matter? That shouldn't even matter anyway.
Spam folders. And the thing is, I don't know if, so I check my spam folder every day because I do. I'm guessing one, people don't, or maybe people in some companies or whatever software they're using, I don't know, that it filters it out and they don't even have a place to check it. I have no idea.
Is it Gmail?
Yeah, it's Gmail.
That's happened to me.
Listeners know stuff, but it's, but in the middle of a thread, we've already been emailing back and forth.
Oh, that's not happened. Yeah.
I know. And so then these folks are like, hey, could you send that stuff? I was like, yeah, I sent it 2 days ago. Here, I'll cut and paste it and send it again. And then today they're like, hey, we've got that podcast tomorrow. We're still waiting on these themes. And I'm like, oh my God. And then I wrote back to that. I don't think they got that. I started a new thread and was like, I just wrote, I don't think you're getting my emails. And they're like, we're not. And I was like, I need an alternative. So I'm like texting them information now.
That's
this
annoying.
Is absurd. Well, also all these people, like I'm getting frustrated with them. They're getting frustrated with me. Like, because it all looks very unprofessional. So I am not happy about it, which is why I needed to vent. So thank you.
Well, it's funny, you know, email, it's like, okay, fine. It's an email service. And you think, well, it doesn't really cost you anything, but it's still a management system of your life and your livelihood that you've chosen. Excuse me. Gosh, I keep getting this little, whatever is in my throat. I feel good.
You got the little New York City COVID you brought back with you. Yeah.
God, I hope not. Although I was on the freaking subway a million times. We'll talk about that in just a second. I was on the subway a lot.
Yeah, I want to hear that.
But the thing is, you got Gmail. I have a buddy who used to have a certain carrier who he had for years through his roofing company. And he got a new truck and he got a second phone because he was getting so busy. He had to have two separate phones for different reasons. And he went back to them for like the third or fourth time saying, look, this phone is not forwarding to my other. I've got 20 or 30 phones through you guys. This is the third time I've asked you. And I've lost like $10,000 to $20,000 worth of business over this.
Oh my gosh.
He's like, I can't let this happen. And he said they were kind of cavalier about it. Like, well, sorry, can't do anything about it. He's like, oh, well, then I'm switching. And so he did.
Whoa.
And that's a big account. 20 to 30 phones.
Oh yeah.
You know, so
anyway,
back to the email. They've got to care about this stuff, you know? They really do.
Well, and I don't know I don't know. So I don't know what's going on. Cause like, I, you know, from my end, there's only one layer of spam. It's sent to spam. I mean, unless I don't even know, maybe there's stuff getting filtered out before it even gets to my spam folder that they're so sure is spam that I never even see. I don't even know if that's part of it. Anyway, I just posted it to Facebook and was like, is anybody else in sex related fields having this issue more so recently? One of my colleagues wrote back and said, yes. And I think I've figured it out. So I just emailed her. She's going to see if she can help me out. Now, she's in another country. She's over in Europe, but maybe she's got some insights for me. So,
well, let me know, because I want to know.
Well, if any of our, well, you're not, you don't have to struggle with it in the same way, but yeah.
But I'm curious. I want to know what her answer is.
Yeah. So,
and you were going to say, if any of our listeners are experiencing the same thing, let us know.
Well, if you've got any insights, if you know this stuff, please email me or Instagram message me or something, or Facebook message me.
Where?
Well, people know where I am.
How do you know?
Because they message me through these things.
But
I know.
What if one person's listening that's brand new today and goes, that's my field.
Then Google any version of Dr. Jen's Den, however you want to spell it, and put it in Google, and you'll find my website, and at the bottom is my email address. Thank you.
I'm just trying to pimp you, Dr. Jen.
I know. That's fine.
So we'll get into the first kiss here in a second, but I just got back from New York. Manhattan, and my son Dylan and his friend Gio both went. They're 17 years old. They're going to graduate this year from high school, a performing arts high school academy, and they're both very good, very good. And they went together with me to New
York.
Were
they like actually auditioning or just checking out Juilliard?
Auditioning.
Oh.
So this was the real deal.
Oh my God! Tell me about it. Oh.
Now here's the funny part. Okay, so a couple of weeks ago, before we took the trip, we went for four nights. We went to the Empire Hotel in Manhattan. Now it's right literally down the block from Central Park. It's around the corner from Juilliard. So it's the perfect location, and what a great staff there and a fun little hotel to stay in. Nice. So I'm recommending that, the Empire. I don't endorse them. I just think it's a great place. Guy named Lewis there was one of the nicest guys I've ever talked to and gave me some great coffee places, which, by the way, I have a 5-minute video on my Motorcycle Monkey channel, YouTube channel.
Fun. Okay.
Because, you know, I serve coffee. I have coffee. Anyway, point is, we are there. And 2 weeks before we leave, we find out that it's going online because of COVID. So I go to my wife and I'm like, look, I'm going to cancel the trip because it's, you know, it's a few thousand dollars that, you know, that we don't really want to spend right now. And she stopped me. She goes, honey, I'd normally agree with you, but here's the thing. He's going to graduate. When will you get this time back with your son? And I'm like, ooh, you're right. She goes, not only that, it's in the winter. They can see what it's like in New York when it's very cold.
Yeah.
And assess the city. Gio's never been. Dylan's only been once. And I went, you know what? You're right. But it was really about spending time with him. So
good.
We go, we get set up in the room, and it's that Saturday that he and Gio have to do orientation in the morning on two separate computers. Cause you know, they don't even know they're together. It doesn't matter. They're in the hotel room. I'm kicked out for several hours. So I go in 14 degree weather, looking for coffee, walking around, having a great time. I'm just waiting to find out how they're doing. Well, the orientation finishes and my son Dylan has his at 9 o'clock. He's one of the first people to go. He tells me he's in a group of 100 people. And that's a big group, first of all. Okay, Gio's in a separate group. But when he does, he said that they told everybody at the end of this first part of the audition, where you do a monologue or two, they ask you questions, you ask them questions. And he even sang a little bit, which they don't, I guess, normally do, but they just asked him to.
Okay.
So then they said, okay, everybody, we're gonna take your cameras off and we're going to post here in a second who made it through this round.
Oh, Jesus.
After everybody went, but we're gonna turn your cameras off so you can process what you see on your own with your own privacy.
Okay.
So they post.
Oh my God. Wait, first of all, were they nervous as hell going into this? Like, did they have trouble sleeping and stuff?
No, they didn't. I mean, they went to bed really, really late, like too late. I wish they'd have gone to bed earlier, but you know, they're used to this process.
Yeah. Well, they're
not with the colleges.
They're on West Coast time. So of course they stayed up late.
Well, so that's why we got there Thursday night, so that they could have all day Friday and Friday night before Saturday. And then we left Monday for home. But you're right. It was a bit of a different time change, of course. So I'm at Tavern on the Green in Central Park, because I'm a hillbilly. I got to go there and say I went there.
Yay.
I had a couple drinks. Yeah, it was awesome,
nice.
By the way.
Oh, good.
And I talked to a rock. So it's like, I got two bartenders. I got a couple and two guys from Italy asking me, you know, how's your son doing? Do we know yet? I'm telling the story. We're all talking about
it. Oh my God, I love it.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. And the and this one girl who was with her boyfriend, who were the main people I was talking about Juilliard years ago, her brother got the Robin Williams scholarship for Juilliard.
Holy shit.
Yeah. I'm like, whoa. So she knows all about it.
I don't know what that is, but it sounds really special.
It's very special. And she says, rarely do they take people out of high school because they want them to have a bachelor's degree. So usually they're about 22, 23 years old or older. She goes, so, you know, no matter where he gets to, she goes, even him getting the audition is great. So good luck to both of them. So then I tell her, oh, my son just called me. Now here's the thing. Dylan told me that out of the 100 people, only 2 got pushed through.
No.
Yes. And even the people said this is the biggest cut that this particular group's ever seen.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So it was kind of a, it was kind of a bummer for a lot of people, but Dylan was one of the 2.
Shut up.
Seriously.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So
you just give me chills.
Oh, I got chills telling you this because he's 98 percentile, him and a female, the only 2. Right?
Oh, so he's very proud. Oh my God.
Please do, because I'm going to cry with what I share next. So he calls me to tell me this. He says, Dad, I'm still waiting, but I want, or text me, said, I made it. I'm 2 out of 100. And I'm like, whoa, this kid's getting in. Then Gio goes, and I don't know where he's at yet, because his group was a little smaller, I think 20 to 40 people. He made it through. So they're both waiting for the next phase.
Holy shit.
However, and I tell this to the people in the bar and they're like, oh my God, that's amazing. And the woman said that that's brother, you know, went to Juilliard with the Robin Williams scholarship. She said, I want you to know, no matter what happens next, for him to get 2 out of 100 people is amazing, especially at 17 years old.
Yeah.
So I finally get a text about an hour later after I've had a couple of drinks and talking to the people. And I go, well, okay. He just let me know he got cut. And everybody goes, no, but they did say the bartender, the female bartender that I was talking to, too. She said, I have 3 friends that went to Juilliard. She goes, please know that it's massive that he even got as far as he did at 17. And so he shows up. We have a couple of burgers together. You know, the bartender comes and talks to him and serves us our food and stuff. She was super sweet. And then we find out Gio made it to the next round. So what
happened?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. So what happens is now he'll get notification. He was there for hours past Dylan.
Holy shit.
And so he will get notified in February, early February, as to whether or not he will get invited back for March for 3 days of classes and observation and meetings and working with the instructors. Yeah. And even then, like, even if he, whether, if he gets invited back and gets notified in February for March, even if he gets invited back for March, doesn't mean he's in.
Right.
Then they evaluate and that's it. Then they say you're in or not.
But do they pay? They pay for that though. Yeah.
What do you mean?
Like his 3 days to come.
Oh, no, no. This is all on our dime to come and.
What?
Oh, wait, maybe they do. You know what? I don't know about the 3 days.
They should pay for that because that's.
Well, I do know to audition, to fly out to audition when it was originally going to be in person. We pay for all that.
Right. So, even that is shitty, but I get
it's a lot of money.
I get what the numbers they're dealing with. However, for that, if you're just down, like if you've been already made it through several layers, I hope they better.
Well, I hope so too, but you know, good luck to you. And I told him, hey buddy, you know, congratulations. Yeah. And my son Dylan took it very, very well.
Yeah.
Very well. But you know, Gio was being very, very nice because he took me aside and he goes, you know, I don't know what happened. He goes, I was there for Dylan's monologue. His words were, he did much better than I did. So I'm not sure what's happening. I think he was just trying to be nice. So, but Dylan is very talented as Gio is. And you know, that whole thing. So excuse me for 1 second.
Yeah.
I hate that I'm having to do that right now, but it's just, I get this little bit of phlegm once in a while.
How do you feel as a dad about this?
So, okay. Taking a sip of water there. I look at it a couple of ways. Dylan is very, very observant. He got us around the subway system, only got us lost once in Brooklyn at night, and we got out of there as quickly as we could. But he did very, very well. He's very aware of his surroundings, as I am. And I think, I wish he got in for him. He's still got 3 other schools that he's auditioning for. He's got all the talent in the world. He can always try again next year. So I believe, and you know how I feel as a Christian, I think God is placing this right now in his path to not go for a couple of reasons. One, there's a reason that now Gio is a great kid. I love that kid. And I feel kind of bad saying this for anybody who might know him, or if he ever hears this, I love him to tears. He's full of talent, but he's never been in New York. And I don't see that he's as situationally aware as Dylan. Mm. And I noticed this going through New York, and I'm actually going to have this conversation with Gio by himself and tell him, look, kid, I'm worried about you.
Yeah.
Because we're walking and I notice people around him, and I notice that he'll move slightly out of the way when he's on the sidewalk, but not enough to where if he shoulder bumps somebody, I don't want him to get hurt.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know Dylan's a bigger guy, and if they went together, Dylan might end up being, say, his guide, if you will. Mm. And who are they going to go for if this happens? The bigger guy.
Mm,
and I really do think maybe that's part of it. And again, maybe Dylan's just not what they're looking for right now. So.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Oh. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
If Gio goes, God bless the kid, I want him to get in because it's what he wants. But I do want to have a talk with him. I think Dylan, still with AMDA in L.A., they offer a semester in New York because they're connected there. That could be his way over there.
Oh, yeah.
For a semester. Yeah. Carnegie Mellon and also the University of Boston in Philadelphia. So, you know, there's just other options that would be good for him. I'm hoping it's AMDA in LA because it's close enough that I feel like I could help him if he needs.
Yeah.
So that's what I think. I do think if he tried out next year, he would eventually get in there if that's really what he wants to do. But all four of these schools he really wants to go to. So he's taking it well.
Good.
He finally had to tell me last night after I told him, I'm really proud of you, son. I really am. Dad, would you stop talking about it? Because it's starting to bum me out. I'm doing okay. And I said, okay, you're right. I'll leave you alone.
So, yeah.
Anyway.
Good. And good for him to say that. Wow. I mean, well, that situational awareness is like, that's a skill. It needs to be learned and it needs to be experienced. I think some people just more naturally have it than others, but then also like, it's just a skill to be learned. So
it is. I just think New York's a rough place to learn it.
Well, it's helpful for you then if he does end up going there to have that conversation and to be like, hey, this is actually a skill. And like, you don't have it. You might not know that it's a skill to have that you don't have.
Well,
that's a valuable gift you would give him.
Well, and I don't want to offend him at all, but I have to have it or I would never, ever, I would be feel so guilty because if he gets mugged or worse over there, because I didn't say it and he never thought about it, you know, I don't know. And, but I will tell you, you know, I sit in restaurants with my back to the wall and I always look at the door, always in the window. It's just been something for years. And actually I did this in New York where I sat next to Gio instead of my son, because my son had his back to the window, the front window. And he kind of looked at me, he goes, how come you're sitting next to me? You always sit next to him. I said, honestly, I go, I want to watch the door. And Dylan says, yeah, my dad always does that. And I said, you know, you just want to be aware of what's coming toward you, whether it be good or bad, you know, and just look, if someone came in here, God forbid, with a gun, there's not much I could do, but I could at least warn you guys and try and duck and cover or do something rather than just getting it from the back. That's my whole thing.
I know some folks that have been in the military who have that and always want their, you know, back to a wall so they can see everything. They want to be able to see entrances and stuff like that and have an awareness. So I think like anything in life, it's an important balance because you also don't want to live in fear all the time and anxiety all the time. But you also, you want to have that awareness. So, yeah.
Agreed.
Okay. So I'm checking our time. We got like 10 minutes or something. All right. We need to hear part two about how the first kiss transpired.
Oh, yes.
With this woman who became your wife, and it was your birthday celebration at Barefoot Bar. Is that correct?
Yep, that's what Barefoot Bar and Grill. Yep, in Paradise Point, Mission Beach area. So we had been dating. We hadn't had a first kiss yet. And last episode, you remember I told you about the kiss I shared with that listener who volunteered and we swapped spit and I thought the relationship was over. But we hadn't said that we were exclusive yet. So I just finally
was like, what the hell?
She called me, says, so heard about your kiss. And I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry. I understand if you, she's like, no, just, you know what, how about, don't let that happen again. I said, it won't. And so, you know, then that's when we decided we were exclusive. So I wound up at the Barefoot Bar on a stage. And because I had done that kiss, that first kiss, everybody called her Miss Greenway. Her last name is Greenway. And she was known on the air quite a bit, by the way. We would go places and she would show her checkbook if she was writing something when we were, because we were in a relationship where we'd share some bills and stuff by this time, or not by that time, sorry, later on,
yeah,
where they'd go, oh, you're Miss Greenway, because we talked about her a lot.
Oh my God, that is so funny.
Yeah. So we're at the Barefoot Bar and Chris Cantore, the lead of the show, 91X Morning Show, Brand X Morning Radio, calls me on stage and then calls her on stage. And we're in front of 300 people. And she goes, well, Clint, buddy, he goes, I know you had a kiss with someone else. And though she forgives you, I got a little treat for her. And I'm like, uh-oh, what? He goes, why don't you step off the stage? And Miss Greenway, you stay right here. So he says, all right, Miss Greenway, I want you to pick out any guys who raise their hands in the audience who get to have a kiss with you in front of Clint to pay him back. And I'm like, you son of a bitch.
But I want to do that because I, like, as a woman, I don't want to freaking just kiss a stranger.
Well, listen to this. So she picks a guy out of the audience, brings him on the stage. Chris sits this guy in a chair, says, Miss Greenway, you got 60 seconds, do what you want. She gets in front of him and she acts like she's going to do a ton. And I'm just sitting there kind of stewing, like, son of a bitch. You know, I'm not the one.
Funny.
Oh, yeah. And she leans over, kisses him on the cheek and says, and that's it. And he goes, yeah, oh, exactly. Thank you. So that's when I knew, I'm like, okay, this woman's got class. She didn't pay me back like she could have. And
well, I don't think you understand most women either. I think most women I know are not interested with just randomly making out with a guy because they were told to do it.
You know why?
Has nothing to do with revenge or anything like that. It just has to do with, like, that's not of interest.
Do you know why, Dr. Jen? Because they're not whores.
No, because we're not wired. Well, yeah, you guys are whores then.
I know. Yeah.
No, we're not wired that way.
I know. So, well, but again, I don't know this. And I'm learning about her.
I know. And so you're like, oh, she's got class.
That's what I thought. And I was like, oh my God. So the guy leaves the stage and kind of waves to the crowd. Everybody cheers him on. And they thought it was super sweet of her. So he brings me back up on stage. He says, but Clint, since you haven't had your first kiss, I think you two should share it here tonight.
Oh my God.
So I look at her and I'm like, honey, are you not honey? Cause we weren't honey at that stage yet. I go, Christy, are you okay with this at this point? And she goes on the microphone. She goes, yeah, you know what? I am. And I'm like, okay.
Such a good sport.
She was. She was a great sport about it. So we shared a kiss and it wasn't swap and spit or anything. It was just a kiss on the lips, but a nice one.
Yeah.
And I think a second nice and third. One. And then everybody cheered and stood up and it was really super cool. Aww. And what a unique, great way to have a first kiss. And
really,
and that was it.
Is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you wish people were still there to cheer you on and your kisses and sexual escapades?
In the bedroom.
Escapades?
Yeah. Heck yeah.
Would you like that? Are you in the voyeurism? No.
No. You'd remember, we've talked about issues.
Yeah.
I'm telling you straight and you get on me about this. I'm telling you, but it's true. If I had a giant penis, absolutely. But I just don't. So no.
So you're just afraid you're going to be judged.
Well, and it does have to do with the shape I'm in. But let's be honest. Even when I was in the best shape of my life, I've just never been that way. Although you remember Desiree at the daytime stop, the rest stop up against the tree behind the bushes. But that wasn't like we invited an audience to watch. That's as risque as I've ever gotten. But no, not with my wife. No.
Yeah. No,
I wouldn't want people
to
see her like that.
Oh, interesting.
So, but anyway, that was our first kiss. And
that
was
awesome. That's a very good story. I like that.
Yep. And then our first time we had sex was in front of a crowd, but it was at dark. It was at night. No, I don't have a story.
I was like, what? I was like, I don't believe where this is going.
No. But I did put a cell phone open line to a speaker to the neighborhood outside. Nope, I didn't do that either.
Didn't do any of those things.
But
I was, wait, did I ever talk about the first time I was at a sex party? And I was there with a friend who I was sexual with, and then things started, there's like 40 people and things are getting started and they're doing all sorts of stuff. And I go outside, we strip down, we go outside to the hot tub. There's a bunch of naked people in the hot tub and he's kind of touching me. And this other guy's like asked if he could touch me some. And then we come back inside into the kitchen.
Whoa, stop. Don't you dare go over that. Wait, some other guy asked if he can touch you. And what was the response?
And I was like, Okay, he asked if he could, I think, touch my leg. Try to remember, because there were no drugs or alcohol at this event either. So I was sober, but it was so, like, I'd never been in this type of context. And it was like, it felt like I was under the influence of something. It was very interesting.
I'm sure it was euphoric.
Yeah, it had an aspect of that.
We took this long to talk about you and a sexual escapade at a party?
We talked early on. So like 3 years ago, we talked
about the hot tub. No way.
And some, yeah, maybe not the hot tub. So not much. Well, it was funny. So I started, I can't remember the details of what was being, I feel like there was two different men that were touching me some. But I don't remember the details. And I do remember, though, we've got other people in the hot tub. We're just having casual conversations, which was, you know, like, that's what you do. But it was distracting to me. Like, it was hard to actually, like, enjoy being touched because they're just having, like, you know, banal conversations about their days and stuff. So then we left the hot tub and went to the kitchen and then ate, because like I always end up at the kitchen table at every party I go to and just eating. There was like chocolate and good shit. And then I was like, all right, you want to do this? And so we went into the main room where there's probably like 35 people or something in different areas doing some beds and doing different sexy things. And there was only one open space, and it was like this big like love sack type of thing.
Oh yeah.
So me and my friend, a male friend of mine, crawled into that. And we're not like, we were hooking up some, but not having intercourse, because I don't do that casually. And we then started hooking up some. But the funny thing is that love sack, there was literally, the rest of the room's relatively dark. There's literally a spotlight on that love sack. And so I don't think my parents listen to the podcast anymore, so I can talk openly about it. So he was like, you know, we were kissing each other and he was like fingering me, and I think he was sucking on my nipples some, and I was like jerking him off some or whatever. And like, we're literally, there's a freaking spotlight on us. And I was like, it was very weird to realize it didn't impact me. It didn't make me feel insecure. And it also didn't, and there was no shame. But
so you like the voyeurism?
No, but that's the thing. It also didn't turn me on.
Oh.
I just loved how matter of fact it all was. It was the most amazing experience overall of that, you know, sex party. And side note, I should say part of this was, there was like 45 minutes of like workshop-y stuff before people took their clothes off.
To introduce you to what the purpose of this was.
Well, no, to introduce us to communication and boundaries and consent and accepting a no and not taking it as rejection. And if you're not a hell yes, you're a no or a maybe, and that's all a no. And it was very well done. These are folks that were very well trained in this. So that set the stage for such comfort. And then you've got people of all ages and all sizes, and they take their clothes off. And it's like the most normal thing ever. And then people start touching and da da da. And some people just sit alone and don't do anything. And it was the most, I don't walk around with a lot of shame, but if there is literally the opposite of shame, whatever that word and feeling is, it was the first time I ever felt it. And it was
really
amazing.
Oh, dang it, the alarm. But no, we can't go yet. Just give me 30 seconds, because this is an important question. And I'm not trying to be a pervert. I'm really not. There's a reason I'm asking. Did either of you finish on that love sack? There is a reason I'm asking.
Oh, well, so first of all, I don't orgasm easily at all. So no for me, that's an easy no. And he was an older gentleman.
Okay.
So orgasm didn't come as easily.
Okay. The reason I asked it is because if either one of you did, I would say that you were like super comfortable enough to do that is what I was getting at.
Right. No, which is a fair question. I would say there were orgasms had in other parts of the room, probably.
But not you guys. Okay. I was just trying to get a read on.
No, totally fair. No, yeah. But I'm like, because of both of us in specifics, like of our bodies, it wouldn't have happened anyway, probably.
Okay. But wait a second. Now I got one more question.
I mean, I would have had to bring my vibrators and stuff. So, and that would have been hard. Like that actually would have been hard probably to orgasm.
No pun intended. You said he's an older gentleman.
Yeah.
But what's older? I mean, how long ago was this?
This was...
So he must have been in his 40s or 50s, right?
No. I mean, older. He was substantially older than me. This was 6 years ago. So I was like 42. I think he was 59.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, right on. So fellas, you're not out of the running with Dr. Jen for a meaningful relationship if you're over 50.
Okay, first of all, so meaningful relationship, yes, because he is still a good friend of
mine. What I mean.
Oh, absolutely. And then sometimes, but yeah, because he's in the sex positive community, he was somebody that I felt comfortable hooking up with some
awesome.
And like experimenting with some like, you know, play and BDSM stuff a little bit. So no, he's all right still on. A friend of mine. Yeah. Anyway. you set it up to my door, Clint.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, let's see. So I'm jotting, crossing all the I's, crossing the T's. Let's see. Because remember, I'm still hoping to find the right guy for you in a great relationship, not just sex.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's
it. But you're a tough cookie to crack. And that's a compliment. Because
yeah, no,
you have high standards, but you I should do. With all of yeah. the knowledge and what yeah. you offer to a relationship. Yeah. So, yeah.
No, and I've, you know, yeah. Anyway, yes. Thank you, Clint. I appreciate it.
You are welcome, Dr. Jen.
All right. Till next week.
Bye.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.